Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We approach 3 o'clock on the Fan. We will get into the Jets and the Niners heavy as the show rolls on, mixing some baseball as well. Obviously, a lot of Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, and the Giants' pathetic loss to start the season. You can always rewind on the Odyssey app. But now we need to talk about us. And by us, I don't mean me personally or Tiki personally or Loogie personally or Sean personally. I mean all of us as fans. Because yesterday, a couple of things happened around us. Number one, and I certainly noticed this through the television, the New York Giant fan was looking to boo. They were in a very feisty, angry, pissed off mood. And I understand that because I am the fan of teams
right.
that have fan bases very similar to that.
So how soon in the game did you notice that they wanted to boo?
The opening drive of the game.
Really?
When Daniel Jones on 3rd and 19 threw short of the sticks to Theo Johnson and he dropped the pass, the crowd erupted in boos. I want to make this clear, though. I'm not against that. Like, while I'm not a booer myself, I understand what it's like to have angst. I understand what it's like to walk into a building in which you've spent a lot of money and you've watched a lot of garbage football and you're expecting the worst for whatever reason and bad stuff happens and your reaction is to boo. But I did notice, because Giant fans are not like Jet fans. They're not like Knicks fans. They're not like Mets fans. Those three fan bases, we're angry people.
Mm-hmm.
We are not confident people. And there have been many a night at Madison Square Garden, Citi Field, Shea Stadium, Giant Stadium at Life Stadium, where we're looking to boo. We are pissed. Zach Wilson says hi. He knows what that's like. So, not mad at it, but I do want to at least share that observation, Teak, where, and you didn't have a lot of this in your time. You want to know why?
We had some boo. We had some
You had booing. Right. You didn't have fans walking into the building.
Yeah, they didn't walk in with the expectation that at some point we're all booing.
And we're going to boo in
the
opening drive.
So bad, we're going to boo.
Yeah.
There obviously were boos.
Of course.
I think 03, we might have had some games like that. Because we started, I think it's season, we started 4-4. And then we didn't win another game. That was the season that Jim Fossil basically got fired but stayed on.
Right.
Type of thing. And it just felt helpless. Some of those games, I don't even remember, like, the feel of the game. Because all I remember was, man, everybody's going to be gone after this.
But you know why this is actually worse than that? This was week one.
Yeah. Yeah,
this was the beginning of the season, but you got that sense, guys, right? Like, from the get, Giant fans were angry, pissed, ornery, and they were booing immediately.
Well, yeah, because you could feel it immediately. It wasn't a normal opening day. They went fired up, honoring Giants legends. It was a whole momentum.
But that didn't happen until halftime.
No, but the thing is, like, you built up to this day for so long. You've been waiting to see what this team looks like. And this is the game you picked because you wanted to have all of these moments. And when you go out there and the first drive is all of your worst fears at once, how else do you express yourself at that point?
No, yeah, you get behind the chains. It's 3rd and 19 and incompletion. It just they couldn't boo then. I'm sure they did. Some.
No, I'm telling you, opening
from
drive.
First drive?
First drive.
It was a smattering.
Whatever. There were boos. I heard it through the TV. I'm out at MetLife Stadium yesterday, and I smiled, not because I'm rooting for your failure. I smiled because I said, oh, I know what this is about. I know what this feels like, because I've been in buildings like that where a fan base is so... By the way, you know where I also sense that? Mets opening day this year. And let that be a positive, Giant fans, because Met fans came into the season with a negative feeling.
Yeah, but that was a little bit different.
Was it?
Yeah, because there was no... The Mets did nothing in the offseason.
Well, I think some Giant fans, not improving the quarterback was their way of not doing enough. You're right about
Brian. You drafted Malik Nabers.
I understand that.
He traded for Brian Burns. It just felt the offensive line was addressed. Maybe not fixed fully, but it was addressed. It kind of felt like the Giants did enough for the fan base to be a little bit excited.
Well, not really.
Because the Mets did nothing.
Look, it's impossible to do a direct comparison because it's different sports.
I know what you mean.
But all I know is at Shea Stadium, at Citi Field on opening day, that same energy existed. Now, here's the good news. The Mets started 0-5. They've turned the season around.
That's great.
So
that's great.
Let it be that reminder.
What does that have to do with it?
Yeah, if the Giants play 162-game schedule, sure. I won't give up yet.
Now, before we get into Dexter Lawrence's reaction to the boos, Daniel Jones, upon leaving the game, got heckled by Giant fans. It's all over social media where guys are screaming, can I have a few million dollars? You suck. Same thing, Dan. Just every kind of insult at Daniel Jones you could say. Before I give you my opinion on this, what I'm very curious about is, back in your day, not that you're 100 years old, but we didn't have social media.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have camera phones all over the place. Was this a normal occurrence?
Never happened.
Never happened?
Never.
Okay. So this is...
I'm trying to think of some of those bad seasons. The problem is there weren't a lot of them.
Right.
And I think the issue for the Giants right now is that they've been in this, like, bubble of suboptimal football. And so it's existed for a while.
Mm.
And I know the last Super Bowl wasn't that long ago, but it was 13 seasons ago. So it's a long time ago. And after that, it's kind of, what, one playoff? Two?
Two
playoff appearances.
2016, 2022.
Yeah, two playoff appearances. And outside of those two playoff appearances, the seasons have been terrible.
Mm.
And so there's just this, like, consistency of bad. When I was in my era, we didn't have, one, social media, so there wasn't an echo chamber of negativity. But two, we didn't have those extended seasons and this massive bubble of bad. We didn't have it.
I also have a theory that the guys who were screaming at Daniel Jones, and so if you haven't seen the video, Daniel's leaving. He's done with work. Just imagine you're done with work. And there are about, I'd say 20 guys maybe. It's not a huge number, but 20 guys, and they're filming it, and they're taunting Daniel Jones as he's leaving. Okay? As I saw this video, my first reaction was, really? The guy had a bad day at work.
Right.
It's one thing when he's on the field and he's doing it to boo and say all those bad things. As he's leaving, can you leave the poor guy alone? Like, you're going to say it on the subway, too? You're going to say it when he stops at a red light? Like, you're going to roll down the window and say, hey, Daniel, throw another interception, you schmuck! Come on.
The other thing about the Giant, well, MetLife, I'll call it Giant Stadium, but Giant Stadium, when we were there, the parking lot was right out of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd come up the tunnel. The fans couldn't get there. So you'd come up the tunnel and you could get in your car. Now, the fan parking lot was on the other side of this fence, so they could scream at you, but it wasn't, you weren't close to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's different now.
Well, you know what the other difference is? Yeah, and I really believe this is what happened. I understand we all think Daniel Jones sucked yesterday. I totally get it, because he did. I understand that he got booed out of the building last night, rightfully so, with sports. I think that those guys that were there, and you could call us up and tell me I'm wrong, you were doing that for clout. You were never taunting Daniel Jones because you felt the need at 5:30 to remind him how bad he was 2 hours ago. You took your phone out because you thought it would be funny. And I saw something earlier in the week, unrelated but related. Do you remember Bill de Blasio? You guys remember that guy?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Used to be the mayor. Not a very good mayor. So some guy, and I admit I thought it was funny, went up to Bill de Blasio with his phone and said, "Hey, Bill, I got to ask you a question." You know, and he was acting kind of nice. Yeah. "Hey, Bill, what's up?" And then he says, "This guy right here, ruined New York."
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Shitty! He's a... And they named him every bad word in the book. And you can see Bill was a little uncomfortable and finally left. The guy did it to put it on social media.
Of course.
So those guys who decided that's society now. That's society. Like, so I don't even think it was this emotional, let's just rip Daniel Jones because we see him walking and leaving work. I think it was, wouldn't this be funny?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I'm all for booing. That felt like a little too much. It was like a little too personal. I mean, Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I love and hate social media. I really do. Because I think it's necessary for self-expression. And it's great for promoting whatever it is you want to promote. But so many people are so into the negativity that comes with it. Right? They thrive on being negative on social media. And it's like it becomes their identity, even though they don't realize it. Or think about it that way. And I don't want to be soft and say it's unkind, but it's stupid.
Well, isn't there a place where you can no longer remind someone they suck at their job? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, Daniel Jones is leaving the entrance. Like, he's going home. He's going to go watch reruns of Seinfeld. Like, isn't this the moment where we say, listen, I booed you all day, and I'm going to probably post how bad you are on social media, but I'm not going to scream in your face.
Well, that's why some of these places, like Carolina, I think Jacksonville is the same way, the players can park underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
So you don't have access to them.
That's the way it should be. You really shouldn't get that close. And honestly, who has that kind of time to stay around after a game and do it?
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
That's, by the way, that's like 2 hours.
Yeah. and I say this full disclosure, I think we're probably over-dramatizing. Like, look, these guys wanted to act like clowns. It's not like they threw eggs at the guy. They booed him, said bad things. He played like crap. I really don't think it's that big a deal. But the bottom line is this. The Giants shouldn't even have these players where they're that close to the fans.
But where's the
anyway.
Line? Like, let's say you go to a diner tonight. You're very hungry, okay? You go to a diner.
Had that Saturday night. Tremendous.
Mm. Actually, tonight's not a good example. He's playing. You go somewhere and you run into, you know, Alex Verdugo. He just happens to be sitting there. Like, are you going to go up to him?
No.
And say, hey, Doogie, no.
People
you
won't
stink?
Do that. People won't do that in a non-sports setting.
Oh, so the sports setting is what makes it allowed?
100%.
So because he was near the entranceway,
yes, because
he's technically still in a sports
identified
setting?
Identified with his place of work. That's why it felt acceptable for them to do that at that moment.
And he also wasn't with his family. I think if the barbers are out for a nice lunch, if you're with your kids and your wife, bro, that's off limits. But if Verdugo's at a bar with another Yankee, all bets are off.
What if he's with, what if Daniel Jones is with Kay Adams?
Then you could say something.
You can. So if he's dating somebody, that's okay.
A good friend of mine once said he's in the public eye and he's open for criticism. When you're in the public eye making big bucks, it's part of it. When he got on the car.
That's a good point.
Plus, Teak, when you get in the car, you could just look at Twitter. So Twitter's another way of heckling you. We get heckled all the time.
That's not the same.
Yes, it is. You read some of the stuff on Twitter that people say about people.
But that doesn't matter.
How's that any different than getting booed or heckled by 20 people when you walk out of work?
Some guy's 20 feet away from you basically saying you suck. That's far different than someone like yourself going out of your way to check what someone says about you on the internet. Like, that's completely different.
But to your original point, Evan, on the clout stuff, we live in a world now where, besides, like, famous people, Taylor Swift, who's famous right now? The Hawk Tour girl, the Costco guys. You could become, like, a millionaire, basically, by being famous on social media. So everybody's trying to get that clout, get on this. So I can't blame people for doing that. Daniel Jones can handle a couple of dudes.
Well, Jermaine Illuminor, his teammate, says this is whack AF. That means as bleep. He goes on to say that it's okay to be upset as a fan, but to come to the player's entrance and act this way is inhumane. We will be better. This needs to be better also.
Ooh. That's solid.
How about that?
That's solid.
Comes after you. Right. Now.
Not coming after you. He's just telling it like it is.
Well, he's coming after you like in a kind way.
Yes.
But like a tough way.
Just be better.
Yeah. Just be better.
Just now, go home.
What?
That's right, the other,
exactly.
Just go home.
That's the other thing that we're not talking about. Well, we did. We mentioned it. But by the time that you get into the locker room as a player, you get into the locker room, you sit and you just recollect. You maybe have a conversation with your position coach. Chat with the dudes. Go get a little treatment if you need it. Go get in the shower. Go get dressed. Do media interviews. Talk to your family. By the time you're walking out, it's a good hour and a half at minimum after a game. What the hell are you doing, man?
For as loser a day as Daniel Jones had, if you had the time to stay an hour and a half after the game to boo him, you had a worse day as a loser.
Now, Dexter Lawrence also was pretty harsh about the booing. This is different than the Daniel Jones stuff. This was the booing that we talked about. Here's what Dexter Lawrence had to say about Giant fans booing yesterday.
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. You know, it's just a rough patch. I mean, it just is what it is.
What do you think of that?
I think it's fine.
The respect part was the mistake. He doesn't respect us.
Maybe it's the wrong word. No, he doesn't respect the booing.
Yeah, but respect the fact that those guys paid like $800 to go to a football game.
Don't take the respect of the action to mean disrespect of the person. That's like saying you're stupid versus you're acting stupid.
Hold on, I'm trying to get this through my head now.
You get the difference?
You're not calling the person stupid. Yes. You're saying what you said was stupid.
Yes. I respect you. I don't respect what you did.
Okay. Not as offensive, but he has to understand.
I know, but that's what he said. That's why we're here. We're talking about it. And I'm telling you what he meant. He's not talking about you as the fan. He's talking about the action you as the fan made. Period.
But does he understand why the action of the fan was made? I mean, he sort of did because he explained it.
Of course.
But I think that that's where it comes from.
Yeah, but if you are a real fan, you're cheering despite the negativity.
That's not true. That is not true, Tiki.
He would respect you if you cheered even despite be the failure.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Good job.
Hold on a second.
Dex, you were awesome.
Hold on.
Sack on the first series. You were disruptive. That's what I like.
Well, first of all, Dexter Lawrence and Drew Phillips, in my opinion, were like the two best players on the field yesterday.
That was encouraging, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got nothing but love for Dexter Lawrence as the player. And I actually like Dexter Lawrence as the person. We've had him on a lot. He's a great dude.
Right.
But you cannot say that if you sat there yesterday at MetLife Stadium and you decided to be positive Tommy, right? You decided to, you know what, as bad as this is, I'm good. We'll be fine. And you're clapping. Good effort, guys. You can't say that person's a better fan than Sean Morash booing someone out of the building.
Here's how I look at this. So emotion is it's like gasoline to fire. And I'm using this in two ways. It's gasoline from an engine, and it's gasoline on a raging, out-of-control fire. If you put gasoline in the engine and you let it, like, rev you up, it's, like, encouraging. It's, like, gives you power. It gives you strength. When you pour gasoline that is emotion on top of something that's already raging out of control, what happens? It gets even worse. And so I have mixed feelings about emotion. Because I think it's a necessary part of humanity and how we, especially as sports fans, interact with our teams, right? You need it. It fuels you. It drives you. But once it, like, explodes and, like, there's raging fires and you just throw more emotion on it, it gets worse. It, you know what I mean? It becomes counterproductive at some point. So I think the challenge for fandom is, when do you pull the throttle back? Like, when do you say, all right, I'm just looking at this from a non-emotional standpoint, and that's how I'm going to judge
it's impossible.
These guys?
It's impossible,
it's not
bro.
Impossible.
It is when
it's not impossible, because this is how I look at sport. This is how I especially look at the Giants. Now, I'm different, obviously, because I played the game, and as much as I will sit around and criticize players and even the team, the Giants are my family, dude. It's like, if Rondé did something bad, yeah, of course I'll be upset with him. But I'm not telling him he sucks and you should go to, right, jump off a building. Like, we never do that. And so you're forced to control your emotion in a different way when the relationship is deeper than just superficial. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't take negativity with the Giants, and meaning bad days like this, and get emotional about it, because I know it's counterproductive. And it doesn't do anything.
No, but it's tough to tell. But it's tough to tell the fan, especially if you were there yesterday, and God knows how much you spent on tickets, and you spent a lot of time in traffic, and now you're sitting there, and your kids won't stop screaming. But you know what? You bought the extra tickets for them anyway, and now 10 minutes into sitting down, your love, the football team you've been watching since you were 3 years old, is you know wetting the bed right in front of your eyes. It's very tough to take the emotion out, and so I admit this, Tiki. I raise my hand. I am not a booer. I'm not. I never boo. I think one time in my entire life did I boo, and it was so sad and pathetic, I don't even want to get into it.
I've never done it either.
Well, but I understand you not doing it, but I get why the fan does it. And so it's never going to stop. Like, it's never like, you know, a Giant fan or a Jet fan. You watch what could happen down the road. It's not like we could just turn it off because it's like, well, it doesn't do any good. That's not why you do it. You don't do it because you think it's going to improve a player's performance. You do it because you're expressing your disgust and your anger.
And there was another part of this where there's a little disconnect, and I don't even blame Dexter Lawrence for this, but when he says, hey, it's a rough patch. For Dexter Lawrence and the 2024 Giants yesterday might have been a rough patch. For those fans booing, it wasn't just about yesterday. Yeah. It's been about a bad decade, and now 6 straight week one openers at home this team has lost.
And by the way,
they're tired of it.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. That's really what it is. It's not yesterday. It's a culmination.
Yes.
And a collection of all the bad.
We're doing this again for a while now. Right. That's not Dexter Lawrence's fault, but he's got to understand that too.
Joe is calling from Bergen County. What's up, Joe?
Oh, my God, guys. Yeah. You just mentioned, I have something I got to say, but you just mentioned something about driving your kid in and the price. I go into the stadium and there's people arguing before we get into the stadium because we're in the Giants shop. No Malik Nabers jersey. He's the number one pick.
What?
I'm trying to get the kid a jersey. no Malik Nabers jersey. You know what they had?
What?
They had Evan Neal jerseys. Two stacks of them.
Wow.
All right? Wow. And then next to the, I'm not kidding. Your people who call up who went in there, then there's Brian Burns jerseys, and then all of these brand new Montreal Canadiens jerseys, they're all throwbacks. It's an LT. Who's going to wear that jersey? Wait,
there was an LT of the jersey that they wore yesterday?
Yes! There was a whole rack of them. I think there might even have been Sims. I'm okay with the Mitchell and Ness stuff. That's great. But when you're trying to buy the kids something, and then you go outside and you have all these Giants 100 signing autographs, and the kid has a Deonte Banks jersey. The guy already changed his number, right. So he's got the 29. And he's like, I don't want him to sign it. I'm like, that's Rodney Hampton. What are you, crazy? These kids that are like 14 years or younger, there is nobody there for them. They don't know anybody because that's how long they've been bad. The last time they won a home opener was when they opened up MetLife Stadium.
And that is why,
it's pathetic.
That is why people boo. And sometimes it's sort of related to the team. The other time it's, I'm just pissed off I couldn't get a Malik Nabers jersey for my kid who's screaming and crying about
it. Yeah, but I mean, he did change his jersey like last week.
Nah, you got to mass produce that crap, man.
How are you mass producing it?
I don't know, but you can.
Sean, where was your jersey made?
I have no idea. Fanatics, wherever.
No, I think he's asking the country.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to tag.
Exactly.
Were you saying they couldn't?
Trust me, it wasn't around the corner.
They couldn't produce number one Malik Nabers. Well, it's been over a week. It's been 2 weeks.
They had.
Okay, do you know how hard it is to get lift out of wherever the hell, Vietnam or China or whatever the heck it is? By lift, I mean like literally lifting it out and delivering it. It's either going to go on a ship, which is going to take forever, or you got to put it on a plane, and it's impossible to get out of some of these countries that these things are manufactured in.
Unacceptable.
To be fair, there were couple hundred of them at FanFest in the team store, and me and Tommy walked out.
Oh, so you saw them?
Yeah, the number one Malik Nabers jerseys.
Yeah.
They peddled them hard.
So you're saying that Joe missed it? Is that what you're claiming?
Or they sold out that quick at FanFest, but at FanFest, they were there.
Yeah, but they were probably made to order. You know what I mean?
Well, they were on a rack lined up.
I know, but how many? Like
100?
100, yeah. So it was probably made to order. Just like if you went and made a
oh, like the actual print shop just printed a bunch of Nabers, put them up to sell
exactly.
them at FanFest.
It wasn't the 150,000 or 200,000 order.
You also need to be very careful because there was a controversy over the weekend involving jerseys. That it involved Julius Randle of the New York Knicks. I'm not sure you're aware of this.
I am not at all.
Someone took a picture of the Garden Team store that had Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, every Knick but no Julius Randle.
Josh Hart,
and Dante DiVincenzo.
No.
Okay, so like...
Villanova fan.
But Teague, you gotta wait for it. So, picture goes out on social media.
Okay.
Oh, no love for Julius Randle. Julius sees it and makes a comment about, wow, you know, like he was kind of offended. I forget exactly what he said, but wow, where's the love? You know, a little bothered by it.
Yeah.
Then puts out a mysterious Instagram post, the truth will be told. So it sounds like Julius is angry, right?
He's not angry.
Well, a little perturbed. It comes out that the guy just chose not to take a picture of all the Julius jerseys they were selling. Plenty of Julius Randle jerseys.
That's what happened.
So what I wonder for Joe.
So by the way, this is what happens when athletes respond to a bit, right? This was a bit. Whoever did this on social media.
Then you did it on purpose?
Of course you did it on purpose.
You think it was a net fan trying to cause disdain between the players?
Was it you?
Yeah, I did this week.
It wasn't me.
I mean, why would you take a picture of everybody and be like, where's Julius Randle? And Julius Randle's jerseys are right there.
Right.
And it's stupid. Meaning the act, not the person.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's stupid.
Right.
But it's only an issue if Julius Randle responds to it.
That's right.
And he responded to it.
Now, the mistake
and it furthered the bit.
The mistake that Joe, our last caller, made is that he's not lying. He didn't call up WFAN to make up that story. Here's what happened. I know exactly what happened. Sean knows exactly what happened. Tiki also does. His kids were not easy to take care of that day yesterday at MetLife Stadium.
Right.
And so he's in a rush. Where are the Neighbor jerseys?
Yeah.
Okay, where are the Neighbor jerseys? She's complaining. I got to get out of here. And I got to go to the bathroom and I got to buy a beer. And he's in a rush to try to find these Neighbor jerseys. Meanwhile, it was right underneath his nose. He didn't see it.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Right.
Poor guy.
Right. Breaking news.
We do have breaking news. Any guesses?
Well, what sport?
Baseball.
We got baseball breaking news? Who's hurt? I can't deal with more injuries.
Nobody's hurt. This is good news. This is positive Shawnee reporting. Jason Dominguez has a locker at Yankee Stadium. No roster moves have been made official yet, but a locker is in the building for Jason Dominguez.
Wow. So the Yankees...
So what precipitated that?
Well, I don't know. I think
a loss yesterday?
I think they saw the negative pub the Giants were getting and said, let's get some positives.
So the Yankees, who win 2 out of 3, but to your point, lose yesterday after basically Gerrit Cole's teammates treated him like Jacob deGrom of 2018. Let's play crappy defense and not score any runs and cost you a game. It's exactly what happened to Gerrit Cole. The Yankees' response to getting shut down from Jameson Taillon and the Chicago Cubs is, let's give it a try. Let's see, Jason Dominguez. Hey, listen, I can't complain. I'm just curious what the corresponding move is. Alex Verdugo did have a hit yesterday. He appears to be healthy. Juan Soto has been, you know, cooled off a bit, took an 0-for-4, but he's healthy.
Yeah.
So what's the reason?
And they did let Duke Ellis go back down, but they were supposed to be activating John Birdie as a result, so we'll see if something else is changing.
So very interesting. Yankees play the Kansas City Royals tonight a little bit later on. We'll spend a few minutes on the baseball later. We'll also get you set for the big Jets 49ers game. My emotions going into this game, very, very different than what I expected. We'll get back to your calls coming up. Plus, Brian Daboll made a claim yesterday. He said they did draw up plays for Daniel Jones to throw the ball downfield. Well, why didn't it happen? How are we all doing on this fine Monday? Well, not a fine Monday if you're a Giant fan. An absolute embarrassment against the Minnesota Vikings at MetLife Stadium. And I want to apologize for something I'm about to do, but I am a man of the people, and I have gotten many messages from people requesting that I do this. So, Tiki, I love you. I'm sorry. Sean, I love you. I'm sorry. Tommy, actually, I don't apologize to him because I think he's going to like it. Ladies and gentlemen, because you guys wanted it and demanded it, here is this.
Daniel Jones, you're not the one we need.
Didn't you do this for, like, Zach Wilson, too?
Sounds right about him. They need a leader.
He is a leader. He's just not a good player today, yesterday.
Another interception waiting to fall. I heard this could
stop
go
it.
This go on the number one list. The songs.
Van Ginkel just happens to be his kryptonite, okay?
Andrew Van Ginkel has ruined Daniel Jones' career. Based on the injury last year and the pick six yesterday, that's his daddy right there. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong? You can't have some levity?
Honestly, I can't have levity. And I love you, Evan, and God bless you that you keep cranking out these songs.
That was an old one, by the way. Yeah, that was from last week.
It is still 3:30. The wound is not healed 24 hours after what feels like, and I know Tiki and I can disagree, what feels like a season-crushing loss to fans in week one. We don't need the AI song nonsense garbage today, all right? Do you know what it feels like? And you know from last year, have your season feel like it ended after week one. Now, I'm not telling you they can't fix this versus Washington, but the feeling we are feeling today, nobody needs your crap AI songs today. I'm sorry. So put them in your pocket, put them in your pipe, smoke it, move on and focus on your Jets tonight, because I don't want to hear it. No Giant fan wants to hear it. No levity.
That's why I apologized to him ahead of time.
You didn't need to apologize to me. I didn't mind it.
Thank you.
It's annoying, but I didn't mind it.
It's a moment of levity. And by the way, Sean, you're the last person who should be that annoyed about it. You have already embraced the tank. You've already admitted DJ ain't my guy. I'm done with him.
You want the tank?
Yeah, he's on the tank band.
Let me explain before Tiki jumps down my throat because I know he hates
Ewers,
this.
Carson Beck.
Hold on.
Jackson Dart.
Hold on.
I love Jackson Dart. Big Jackson Dart guy.
Just great because name. Of his name?
Yeah. Correct.
Before I make my point.
Is he talented at all?
Yeah, he plays at Ole Miss.
Out. Tiki, before you jump down, because I know you're going to be
Lane Kiffin guy?
The players and coaches will not and should not approach this like they should lose every game, and I think we can establish that that would not be right to their profession.
You saw how all these rookie quarterbacks played this weekend, did you not?
No question, Tiki. But guess what? One or two of them is likely going to figure out a career
C.J. Stroud wasn't great last year in week one either. The point is, to get the Giants ultimately back to where they need to be, they need to figure out this quarterback thing. And unfortunately, this is not a Giant problem. This is an NFL problem. The last 5 years of NFL drafts have shown these teams need to trip all over themselves to get up to the top of the draft to find quarterbacks. And to me, the best outlook for this team's future, we know they're replacing Daniel Jones. It ain't going to be Dak Prescott. Okay, is to be as
and it's
hot.
Not going
to
be Kirk Cousins.
It's not going to be Kirk Cousins either. So they're going to inevitably target the draft. Now, whether they hit on that guy or not is indifferent. And I would rather not have to trade up a bunch of assets to do that. So while this sucks and while I'm not rooting for it, I know internally what is best for me as a fan to get this organization right is to be as high up in that draft board as
it's
possible.
It's September 9th.
And that's what sucks about it. You think I want to be saying this today? And I don't want to. I'm not going to root for them to lose to Washington, but I know in my heart, and most Giant fans know, even you're not going to root for it because you're fans and the players or coaches shouldn't do it. We know what is best for this team. Honestly, if you're going to stink and you have no quarterback, is to be as high up in the draft as possible. And it sucks saying that on September 9th.
Yeah, but you got Tommy DeVito on the roster.
I'm glad you said that because we are in an election year, and perhaps we need a recount because in round two of the Lou Gehrig debate series, where I took the side of Tommy DeVito should be the week one starter, and Sean Marash took the side of Daniel Jones, and Sean Marash won that debate because Sean, and I quote, was dropping dimes in practice in his underwear where you can't get within 500 feet of him. We should probably revisit that one because I've been screaming it for weeks and Giant fans basically wanted me removed and fired. Tommy DeVito deserves to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
What quarter did they start chanting his name?
I don't think they actually did it yesterday.
Oh, they
well,
did.
They should start
they
doing it because he deserves it.
The fourth quarter over the skull chant, you could hear, "We want Tommy, we want Tommy."
Yeah, I got bad news for Giant fans, unfortunately. Your backup quarterback is Drew Locke.
Yes. So he was the emergency quarterback yesterday.
Yes.
Even if you want him. I mean, how bad is Drew Locke feel?
Oh, I think he feels like crap.
You want Tommy.
Yeah, they're literally chanting.
He can't play unless I'm hurt.
Right. They're literally chanting for the guy behind even you. But, yes, I'm sure the talk for Drew Locke, but really Tommy DeVito will heat up as this play continues. Now, Brian Daboll made a claim yesterday, and you're the X's and O's guy. You watch the tape, all right? Sean tried to watch the tape, but he started crying in the middle of it, so he was unable to get through all of it. Brian Daboll was asked, and it's a fair question, hey, you're in charge of play calls. There was certainly a talk of taking a lot more shots down the field.
Yes.
There were, I think if I counted correctly, one shot down the field.
I don't know if there was one.
Maybe there was zero. I think there was one shot 20 yards or further.
Oh, yeah,
in this
one throw to Malik Nabers.
Yes.
Where he climbed the ladder and went and got it over
that
the defender.
That a shot down the field.
Yeah. But when we talk about shots, I'm thinking more, all right, I'm in the pocket. I have a guy running deep. It looks like man. Even if it's not man, it's presenting as man. My guy versus your guy, I'm throwing it up. As Aaron Rodgers told us on his new documentary, this will be on Netflix, that's like a 40% completion throw.
Right.
Right? You have 40% chance of completing. And if your receiver is good, it's probably like 50. That's what Aaron Rodgers told us. So why not throw it? I don't think we saw one of those.
So why? Because Daboll makes it seem like they were there, and they never offered a fuller explanation for why it didn't happen. Was he BSing us, or is that true?
I think he's just answering the question truthfully, but with obscurity.
Well, that's code for he's BSing us.
So there were, I went and looked. In the last break, I was literally looking at every pass. I'm like, all right, where was there a design where there was somebody either running through, and maybe he was open, but not designed to him, and it, Daniel could have just thrown it, or an actually designed deep ball. And there was one, actually there was two, one right before the end of the third quarter, but Daniel got pressure on him, and so he had to move out of the pocket, he just couldn't make the throw. And then another one was also in the fourth quarter, where I believe it was Wandell, was like streaking through the field. But he's clearing out. It's not a throw to him. And so I think Dave's is making it sound like that's their identity, but it was not necessarily the case in week one.
Yeah, so what I took out of your explanation is that Brian Daboll was kind of, you know, in a nice, eloquent way, BSing us. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, basically.
He didn't have an answer.
By the way, he does on almost every question
it's endless. And
every question you ask, there's an element of BS to it.
And here's the way I look at coaches who BS us, or coaches that don't give us answers. Eric Mangini did that a lot. Brian Daboll's doing it a lot. Famously, Bill Belichick did that a lot. I don't honestly care as long as you win.
Right.
When you lose, it's frustrating because as fans, you want answers to questions like that. Hey, Brian Daboll, why aren't you taking shots down the field? And instead, it sounded as if he was putting it on the quarterback, despite his entire press conference being about putting it on himself, which I appreciated. Despite all his BS, Daboll continued to say, it's on me, I got to be better. And yet that answer was, I don't know, watch.
So the problem with him answering it truthfully or without as deep of BS is that it takes so much explanation for why that it's not worth it. Because you look at what Minnesota was doing, it was either like this obscure pressure, which obviously takes you out of the ability to throw a deep ball, or they're playing these like clouds. So there's this like, it's imprudent to throw a deep ball. And so if you're going to get into the minutiae and the details, it's not even an answer because nobody's going to understand it. Mm-hmm. So the best thing to do is just like, yeah, there were some opportunities there. We just didn't happen. I mean, he's not lying, but he's obscuring some things.
He's not lying. He's just obscuring the truth. The man is.
It's just not worth it to him to explain it.
Right.
And I get it because it's hard to explain. The lame watcher or the average watcher or listener doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys.
What's happening? Yo.
Another embarrassment. I guess the only good thing about yesterday, last year we had to leave at halftime. At least this year we didn't have to leave till, 6 minutes left in the third quarter.
Mm. Progress. But, progress.
It was a nice day, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe next year we can actually stay for the full game. Maybe they're in it by the fourth quarter. Mm. Batiki, my question is around the head coach that maybe we praised him too soon, and it wasn't him.
I mean, he won coach of the year. How could you praise him too soon? He won coach of the year, right? That's usually a harbinger of good things to come.
That may have been his high point. Because what I can't understand, and like, with the game plan yesterday, like they came out flat. There was no backup plan in regards to, okay, if we can't get this going, what are we doing here differently? It seems like he has this mentality to start the game, and he doesn't want to deviate from it. And the thing that bothered me about the pick six is I was there with my dad, and we see Wandale lining up for a bubble screen.
Yeah.
The whole stadium knew he was throwing it to Wandale.
Yeah.
He didn't check out of it. I don't know if that's his call to take a timeout at that point, but I'm not surprised that got turned into a pick six. But you can't dumb it down anymore. Like, he has no creativity offensively.
Well, I mean, you also need to get things just going, right? Every coach, every play caller with a quarterback, it doesn't matter how experienced that quarterback is, he wants things to just start to flow. Feel good about the plan that we have in place. So get a completion. Let's get a first down. And the challenge for the Giants is that in their first drive, they went 3 and out. -9 yards net, right? So, all right, we're screwed up. We have this list of top 15 or first 15 plays. It's all scripted. As soon as you get a penalty or whatever pushes you back, you're out. You're off of it. And so how do you make it right for the quarterback? It's hard. Like, certain teams can overcome that. The perfect example is the Thursday night game, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens kept shooting themselves in the foot. But when they got the third and long, they find a way to convert.
The problem is, and he made this point, it felt like that play, you felt that play design coming.
Yes.
Like, people in the building, me at home, I'm sure Sean Lugie felt the same way. Like, you could see what Daniel was going to do, which is try to throw that quick pass. And the problem is, if I know it's coming, and I'm pretty basic, I admit, then Andrew Van Ginkle knows it's coming.
Yeah, but Andrew Van Ginkle, he was just kind of in the right place at the right time.
You think it was luck?
I do.
It's almost like he knew the play call.
I don't think he knew the play call. He's on the edge, so they're five up, whatever it is. It's two mugs in the middle of the field, and he's the stand up edge, and it's really just to give the illusion of pressure. Like, we're coming after you. Everybody's in gaps. Identify who's coming, and we're going to confuse you. And Van Ginkel's not actually coming. He's got contained. So the reason he intercepted that ball is because he's not rushing the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's got contained. And so he just kind of stops and stands there, and Daniel throws the ball. He sticks out his glove, and it sticks to him. Mm-hmm. So they just had the right defense. And this is what Brian Flores does to you. He's like, he confuses you, or at least he's trying to confuse you. And in this case, Van Ginkel was in the right place at the right time.
Jay in Harlem. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, dude?
Yo. Just wanted to apologize for Tommy. My man, he's been calling for DeVito, and I was arguing him back and forth. And I was wasting my time. Like, Jones, I'm his biggest supporter over these 5 years. So he's coming from me. It's over, bro. Like, he had his chance. This is the best line he had. It wasn't great, but his tackles are better. Aluminos better than Neil. Then he got a weapon on the outside. He's throwing the ball at the ground. He's seeing ghosts like the other quarters. Like, yeah. I'm good. I don't want to see no more.
So you're done with him. Yeah. Did you argue with Tommy, I want you to be honest, because you sound like an honest guy, yeah. Jay. When you argued with Tommy, did you call him any bad names?
No, I didn't get disrespectful with it.
I'm just making sure, because Tommy took a lot of shrapnel for his opinion that Tommy DeVito should start over Daniel Jones, and it's okay to disagree. Like, that's the beauty of sports. Where I'm going to defend my guy is, because I disagree with him all the time, mm-hmm. and I try not to call him names. But sometimes I do, and I feel bad. I'm like, Tommy, I shouldn't have called you a schmuck. And I apologize.
You also wanted to punch me in the face after a Met loss, too. So.
Well, no, that's going to continue.
And you threatened physical violence.
No, that's going to continue because... Yeah. I love Tommy when the Mets play well. Like, I want to make out with him. He's my guy. He's got positivity.
I'd rather you punch me in the face.
There you go. But then when the Mets lose and he's still so positive, I want to, like, stone cold stun him. I want to punch him. So we have a love-hate relationship because I'm a very emotional fan. And so right and wrong, I give you, like, love when the Mets are winning, but then I also want to do really horrible, bad things to you when the Mets lose.
You're not alone, by the way.
So I'm just being honest about it. So I just wanted to make sure Jay was fair in his argument with Tommy about Tommy DeVito. It sounds like he was fair to you, at least.
Yeah, he was fair. And you're right. I've gotten a lot of crap for that when I first had that take. It was me and Tiki on the Friday after the preseason game against the Lions, and people wanted me fired. They wanted my giant fandom card taken away. And I kept saying this. Daniel Jones is going to be a backup when he's gone from the Giants. You guys are all sick and tired and done with this guy. All I'm doing is offering a solution, a suggestion for another guy to start.
So here's my counter to this right now, because we are
might be completely right about that whole take, by the way.
Oh, no, I think he's right about the fact that Daniel's going to be a backup next year. I completely agree with that.
I'm just saying Tommy DeVito might be the best option on this team.
Well, okay, but is he right now?
Not yet.
Okay, so this is where I'm at on this situation. I want to win. I'm not a loser like Sean who believes in tanking. And up, I give up, the season's over.
Can't do
that. Even during the Met season.
Maybe after a quarter.
After a quarter of the season.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, like even during the Met season, what I would say on the Rico, and I'll say it right now to depressed Giant fans. Even if your brain tells you they suck, even if your brain tells you this season is not turning around, you watch, hopefully, that you're wrong and everything turns.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, during the baseball season, it was early enough and everything turned.
Right. But
it's still early enough in the football. It's 1 week.
Right. And now, I forget what the stat is. What is it? 0-4 has never made the playoffs? Because I remember it was 0-3 at one point, and then someone started 0-3. I think it was it the Lions?
Starting
winless. A winless streak to a certain extent. You just don't make the playoffs.
Right.
And I feel like it was 0-3. But then it happened, and so now it's like 0-4. And so when I talk about the quarter, that's what I'm talking about. Right? The Giants start this season 0-4, and they're not competitive in these games. Stop. Right? Let's reevaluate what our best chance to win formula looks like.
Well, best chance to win, that's what you have to do right now. Like, the Giants are still in the moment of the season isn't over. You're not giving up because you want to evaluate.
And to me, that's still Daniel Jones.
I agree with you because Drew Lock stinks. And Tommy DeVito, I mean, did you watch him in the preseason? Like, as of right now, and I know that's not a popular thing to say on a Monday after everybody is lambasting Daniel Jones. Rightfully so. He was terrible yesterday. But I don't believe at this point Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito is a better option. Will there come a point in this season, and this may happen, and it probably will happen, where the Giants are dead, and we all know it, and now it's about evaluating what you have, and absolutely. But at this point, even after that horrendous sideshow of a quarterback performance that we saw yesterday, I still would run him out there thinking he gives me the best chance to beat Washington more so than Drew Locke and Tommy DeVito.
But you
does.
Said DeVito stunk in the preseason. Yes. DeVito never got the opportunity to play with the first-team offensive line with neighbors. So why?
No, you got to look deeper than that. If you watch the Jet game, despite the offensive line being bad and him having no weapons, he looked like he never saw pass rush in his entire life.
Yeah, he took a bunch of sacks.
Like I know you didn't watch that game. I'm telling you, I was there. It was like that guy's never played the position before.
And that was what was bad about him last year.
Yeah.
He took 35?
Yeah, he holds on the ball.
37 sacks?
Yes.
Something like that. It was an inordinate amount of sacks.
No, and there may come a point where this season is so broken and lost where I'd say, look, DJ's not going to be back. Drew Locke's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Let's just give it one final look.
Right. To me,
I cannot do that the second week of the season.
To me, that's through the first quarter of the season.
Fair enough.
And then because you don't need to see it any longer.
Right. There comes a point where it's like, I've
Sean found it. 1992?
The 1992 Chargers were 0-4.
They started 0-4 and they made the postseason. But it's rare. Right? You get 0-4, you're not making the postseason.
See, I'm not married to that as much as you are. 0-4, I still wouldn't necessarily say that's my line of demarcation. I don't know what the line is. You know what the line is? When you feel it. When you know it.
I think at 0-4, you would feel it.
Well, it certainly feels like we know it.
I was going to say, most Giants fans feel like they feel it after week one.
No, I get it. Most Giants fans want to make a move right now. Whether it's Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke, they're like, they're following my logic from last year.
Drew Locke was brought in to be your backup quarterback.
Right, he would be the guy. They're following my logic from last year where you and I argued, I think it was the third week of the season. I said, enough of Zach Wilson. Mm. And you're like, well, the backup's not much better. And I was like, I don't care! Mm. I need to look at something different.
Yes.
And I know that Giant fans are getting to that point. I'm not there yet. Not 2 weeks in, 1 week into the season.
Because of the lesson you learned last week from wanting, I forget who in the quarterback.
Tim Boyle,
or who's the other one?
Trevor Siemian.
You wanted them so badly. They were worse.
But instead of giving an opportunity.
To the point where you're like, Zach, come back.
I never said that, by the way.
But hold on. Door number one could have been give an opportunity to Tommy DeVito to develop him. Instead, they paid Drew Locke $5 million to be a backup. He stinks. And they went back to Daniel Jones.
By the way, I agree with that. I think the Drew Locke signing for $5 million didn't make sense to me.
Right.
They halfway.
Now, bringing him in, fine, but not guaranteeing $5 million.
Because
it hamstrings you.
Yeah. Adam is in Newburgh. What's up, Adam?
Oh, my goodness, boys. I really don't even know where to begin. I mean, listen, I understand this whole narrative today about, you know, the guys waiting out for Daniel Jones after the game. We need to understand something. I understand the players are frustrated with the boos. The Giants' record in the last 10 years, 60-102. Mm. This is not about yesterday, guys. This is about 10-plus years of absolute poor branded football. And let me just run this down for you guys. To me, the Giants' issue is very simple. It is an organizational product issue. I, myself, and the rest of the fan base should be blaming the owner. It is John Mara who needs to be taking the blame for this. And let me begin with this, okay?
Okay, so what if he does? What are you going to do about it?
Okay, so here's let's just understand something. It is time as a fan base to understand, yes, all the product, but the owner is a part of the reason. In 2017, he allowed McAdoo to bench Eli. Let's begin with this. The guy hired Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge. He's allowed guys like Evan Neal to flat out disrespect the fan base, okay? We are all fed up. Let's go down. Yesterday, the 100 season celebration, like the gentleman who called before. You go into the stores. There's no Neighbors jersey. The product on the field sucks. The stadium sucks. The food sucks. I gotta be honest. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me explain this to you.
Yes.
I left at halftime yesterday. I live in Orange County. Okay. I got home before the 4 o'clock games even started. I have never in my life been in a position like that where I can say, oh, I'm home at 4 o'clock. I'm going to be able to watch.
I want to be specific about
the
this. Because,
people.
Well, hold on. Adam. I want to be specific about this with the owner. Because when Yankee fans complain about Hal Steinbrenner, there's a tangible thing that bothers them. And the tangible thing is enough of Brian Cashman, right?
Yeah.
And right or wrong, that's how they feel.
Or we're not spending money.
Or they're not spending it. So when it comes to the football aspect of it with John Mara, and I don't want to hear about Ben McAdoo because that was years ago. Same thing. I want to talk about right now.
I get it.
Where's the mistake? Should he have fired Brian Daboll and Joe Shane? Like, tell me the mistake with this current regime.
So here's my problem, okay? You watched, and now listen, we're never going to know the real story, okay? But in my opinion, you watch that Hard Knocks, you see bits and pieces of certain things. This is a product that was put on the field. We knew what Daniel Jones was after year two. You see what he was.
No,
he played his best in 2000. So in 2000, hear me out real quick. In 2022, when they made the playoffs, he played at, I would say, a above average level. Yes, he played strong down the stretch. He had the game in Minnesota on Christmas Eve. He went out and balled against the Colts. The guy had a very small sample size. How, as an owner, do you not allow yourself to say, this guy showed us very minimal up until then. Let's give him a contract, a large contract at that. And the best player that we have, we're not gonna go out and do above an extra for him and Saquon, and we're just gonna franchise.
All right, so the
ownership.
But Adam,
it's also a best practices thing with the position, right? If Daniel Jones has been here for a long time. If you're a starting quarterback in the NFL for a past your fifth year option, you're gonna get the average salary of a quarterback. It just happens to be $40 million. I think Adam and others are getting caught up in the number. Forget the number. It's fungible. I tell you this all the time. It means absolutely nothing. It's a two-year deal. He's going to make $80 million, and then he could have been gone. Saquon Barkley, they didn't want to pay a running back.
But the issue,
period.
But the problem is with all of this is that's a fine debate. But do we not all agree Joe Shane made that decision? Like, here's what I'm confused about.
Mm-hmm.
John Mara. There have been times throughout his ownership tenure in which I've been very critical of him, and I'll tell you specifically why. Because I thought he was too overhanded with the decisions being made.
Right, but he's not.
But he's not now.
Right.
So if you're mad, this is the thing.
I don't think he ever has been, by
okay,
the way.
Maybe I was wrong, but again, that was 5 years ago. All I care about is right now. So right now, Joe Shane is running the team. Do we disagree that Joe Shane is running the team? That Joe Shane did make the decision to let Saquon Barkley walk away?
He did. John Mayer told us. He told us on Friday.
Now, people may not believe that, and that's fine. But if you believe, and this is my question when it comes to blaming ownership, because trust me, I blame plenty of owners, but I need the tangible why. The why on Hal Steinbrenner is not spending enough and too loyal to Brian Cashman.
Yes.
What is the why right now on John Mara? Do we want Shane and Daboll fired? Is that the answer? Was last year such a bad year, and the decision to re-sign Jones, even though I agree with you, cap is fungible, was that so bad that you needed them to make a change? Because here's the way I look at ownership, and I'm going to judge Steve Cohen the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
I have my opinions on what I think the Mets should do, but what I really want Steve Cohen to do is let David Stearns run the team.
Yes.
That's it. I don't want Cohen making the decision to keep Pete Alonso. I want David Stearns to make the decision to keep Pete Alonso. I don't want John Mara to make the decision to keep Daniel Jones.
Or Saquon.
Or
whoever it may be.
I want Joe Shane to. So if we believe they're letting, or he's letting, Shane and Daboll make all the decisions.
Yeah, why criticize them?
Then what is our issue until we decide they need to be fired?
Right. And John even told us on Friday, the changing of the regime every 2 years is part of what put them in the cycle of mediocrity. So, I don't get the sense that that's going to happen anytime soon. Like, I don't think that this cycle of, we're going to hire a guy for 2 years and fire him, I don't think that's coming back, at least not in the short term. So the issue is they have a quarterback problem. They have a Daniel Jones problem. He was bad on Sunday, period. And in today's NFL, this is not the 2000s where you can have a mediocre quarterback and a fantastic defense and a great running back and a great kick returner and win a Super Bowl. Those days are gone. They're gone. If you have a mediocre quarterback, you are not winning in the NFL, period. All the other stuff is nonsense. It's bloviation. It's inflated emotion and ego. I want to sound good on social media. That's all that is. Quarterbacks win in the NFL. We've seen it every year for the last decade. The Giants don't have one right now. That's the biggest problem and really the only problem.
We've got a couple of whys we need to answer. Why is Jason Dominguez back with the New York Yankees? And why did Tiki Barber get so dirty on his CBS broadcast yesterday? We'll try to get those answers coming up, plus more of your angry Giant calls. We'll preview the Jet game coming up as well. 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style.
you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.